Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. I'm back with my guests in Studio A this morning, as I mentioned, from San Juan County, to talk a little bit about this new triage crisis center idea. Lisa Gomez is back with us this morning. She is the county's community health and social services director. Welcome back to KSJE.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Good to have you here. Also joining us in the studio this morning, the deputy county manager, Stephen Saavedra, is here. Mr. Saavedra, welcome back to you as well.
Good morning, and thank you for having me as well.
Good to have both of you here to talk about this idea, which Lisa was reminding me that we talked about on KSJE a few months ago on our Solutions from the Street program, kind of a teasing maybe that this was in the works and the county was looking at this. And as Stephen Saavedra mentioned to me earlier, this all came from this kind of study about what we're lacking maybe here in San Juan County and what we could do, what the county could do to help residents and things along that line. That's kind of been the basis for this idea, correct?
Really, it was identified as a gap in the
That's the word I was looking for. It was gap analysis. That's what it was. Thank you.
And I'll let Stephen also add some comments. And incidentally, there's several groups that were working on this idea. Law enforcement has said for a long time, we need some sort of a crisis center. The Mental Health and the Courts Committee that Judge Gurley heads up has identified that as one of their priorities. So we're all sort of coming together to work on the project.
Right.
So it's not just the county identified. It's a lot of groups in the community saying we need this.
Understood. But the county, it seems to be taking the lead on finding solutions to this issue from this gap analysis, right?
The county did commit some funds to hire a consultant on this feasibility study and ultimately a business plan.
Right.
So yes, I think in that way we certainly have
right
and taken the lead.
And the results to hopefully serve all of the county as well, not just the cities or just one area of the county. That's the idea as well.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. The idea that the entire county is in need of such a service and actually in the region.
True. Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. Mm-hmm. Mr. Saavedra, Stephen Saavedra, talk to me a little bit about this gap analysis and then how we got to this point to look at this emergency crisis triage center.
Thank you, Scott. So as Lisa had mentioned, this came out of the 2019 gap analysis, an area where we are lacking. And it's not just San Juan County. This is nationwide,
sure.
Unfortunately. So what we have in our community and a lot of communities is folks that are suffering from behavioral health issues, be it alcohol abuse, drug use, be it issues with anxiety, issues with potentially suicide, things of that nature. There is not a particularly good place for those individuals to get services. Where they get services currently are either the hospital emergency room or the detention center, unfortunately. And those entities are not the greatest at serving these individuals, not because they don't want to, but they just don't have the resources or capacity to do so. So identifying that within previous work and looking to this feasibility study, looking to the help of Dr. Wayne Lindstrom, to identify what we can do as a community to be able to have a place where these individuals can go and get the services that they need. It'll be good for them. It'll be good for the entities. It'll be good for the community at large if this can all come together, a crisis triage center.
Right. And from your description, it sounds to me like when someone is having a mental health crisis, by the time they are with law enforcement or heading to the detention center or heading to the emergency room, they are well past maybe several other steps that maybe could have been some earlier intervention, some earlier help to help that person, right? I mean, once you're at the police department or in the back of a police car or at the emergency department, your options are kind of limited at that point.
Correct. And unfortunately, the symptoms that they're suffering get worse, not
right.
better. And that adds additional stress not only to that patient, that client, but those folks that are trying to help them. It could be a situation where there's even some violence episodes, and that's not a good situation for anybody. So let's try to mitigate those situations. But when they're in the back of a police car, when they're heading to an emergency room, those situations, just because of time is starting to grow, can create that situation to get even that much worse.
Right. And so this would hopefully be an earlier kind of intervention or earlier type of treatment or help.
Correct.
Than what you're describing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Very good. And so there's a stakeholders meeting coming up soon to get the public's ideas about what this could be or what types of things are needed in the community. Lisa, what is that? When's that happening?
Yes, it's Monday night, November the 13th, 6 o'clock at the Civic Center. So watch for announcements about that. We really want to update the public and stakeholders, the work that's happened from our contractor on the feasibility study, and also really get a feel from the public, what the true needs are from their perspective. So that we can, as we move forward, the contractor can give us some suggestions. What's the right level of service that's needed for our community and things like that. So not only get the word out that this is in the works, that we have a feasibility study, not that we're at the point to build the
right.
center,
right.
but we're in the feasibility
study. This is the planning stages,
this is
right?
The planning stages, yes.
Okay. And what type of, I guess, center, as we've been describing, does the community want or need? And what level of help or care do we need to have in that staff of that center?
That's
part of these questions that are being asked,
that's,
right?
Yeah, that's part of the feasibility to determine, hey, is it really needed? And if so, what's the level of service? What kind of facility? What number of practitioners? What kind of practitioners? What's the model that we should be looking at?
Right. And so what types of folks would you like to see in the audience at this meeting? We talked a bit maybe about law enforcement and medical community, maybe from the judges and things like that, criminal justice. Who should come?
Definitely the list you mentioned and mental health providers mm-hmm. in the community. Other first responders that deal with these kinds of folks in crisis. Members of the public that are maybe consumers that experience those kinds of services or have family members, any interested.
It is open to the public, so really no one will be turned away, of course. And
of course.
So, but that's the idea, is to get all these folks in to be able to give their input into this process.
And we want to have a very productive conversation. Dr. Lindstrom met initially with some stakeholders within our community, fire, police, detention center staff, hospital, and so forth. And so, there's going to be an opportunity to update what has happened thus far from the initial meet and greet to where we are right now within the study, hopefully, and really have a productive conversation. That's really the hope is, there's hopefully good ideas, good suggestions, and the stakeholders and those that, are willing to participate will be able to share how this could, this feasibility study could be that much more with their suggestions and constructive feedback.
Right. And the gentleman that you're talking about, he is a consultant on this project, or he is someone that the county is relying on to guide you through this process?
Yes, Dr. Wayne Lindstrom. I believe he was the former, and correct me on the title, he was with the state of New Mexico, the director of...
BHSD director, so...
Behavior
he's
Health.
A former.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a former. Yeah. He's currently works for RI International, who we contracted with.
Okay.
So he's our consultant.
Gotcha.
And our contractor is RI.
So he knows Behavior Health. He knows New Mexico. It sounds like he's a good resource to have on this project.
He is, and he actually has a lot of experience in New Mexico. He actually assisted Doñana County with their crisis triage center and getting that up and going. He's working with another county, Grant County, doing the same process as he's doing with us on the feasibility study.
Gotcha.
I think it's important to highlight the importance of such a facility and how we're going to cooperate and seamlessly work with 911 and the hospital's behavioral health unit and, you know, outside outpatient providers and the law enforcement. And so how can we partner and make it a seamless process for an individual?
Right. And that's the goal.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. And I guess maybe some folks who are listening or watching us this morning may say, well, don't we already have something like that with the new-ish mental wellness resource center that the county has also been really instrumental in getting open? And so that serves a little bit of this population, but this would be a step further. Is that the idea?
Well,
are they separate things?
They are separate things. So the Mental Wellness Resource Center is a Connect center. We don't offer any mental health services except for peer support in terms of helping navigate an individual to connect to services, navigate all the complicated applications, figuring out, you know, how does this practitioner or agency match up with the insurance they have, those kinds of things. We don't offer direct mental health services. We are not a crisis center. We're not trained to handle someone in crisis. Although we do get a number of folks, and we usually walk them over to ER.
Right.
But
that's the only place that you could take them.
That's the only place you could take them right now. So if someone is in crisis, there is no place currently to take them except to the ER. If they've broken the law or have a lower level, you know, some sort of illegal law enforcement encounter, they may go to the detention center,
right.
And everyone believes and agrees it's not really the right place for a person in crisis.
Gotcha.
And so, no, the crisis triage center is truly a triage place. Someone can go who's in crisis, can go talk to someone, get some comfort, and they'll be triaged by licensed practitioners and determine.
Okay, in the building.
In the
right
building.
There, that's the difference.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they do need to go to the ER. Maybe they need to go to the BHU.
Behavioral health unit.
Behavioral health unit at the hospital. So that they're going to be a really important partner in this process too.
Of course.
So,
but that's the difference, and that's what I think folks maybe would be a little stuck on. I know I have been too, on the differences of between what we have now and what you're proposing with this new crisis triage center, which would actually have licensed professionals in the building to be able to help these folks when they walk in the door.
That is the plan, and that's the gap that exists today.
Got you. And of course, we're talking about the county, which is taking a lead on this with its community partners. And of course, there are already these agreements with a lot of these community partners with a lot of the things the county's already doing, I think, which is to the community's credit that these groups are willing to work with the county are willing to work with these groups, whether it's the hospital or other folks to make some of these things happen.
Truly, it's seems like folks are saying across the state it's sort of unique in our community how we do cooperate and partner. So currently, City of Farmington and the county and the hospital and PMS partner on the Totaw campus services. And so there's a sobering center, there's an expansion shelter, an overnight shelter. Someone can just go in if they need emergency shelter for the night. And just robust behavioral health services on that campus. And so it's supported by the community in a big way. Not only if someone's on Medicaid, then PMS can bill Medicaid, but Medicaid doesn't pay all the bills. So
right.
There is a need for supplemental funding. So this cooperative intergovernmental agreement supports people in the community in that way. So we're hoping as we move forward that these same entities or additional entities would want to partner similarly.
Right. And Stephen Saavedra, let me ask you the money question, I guess, too, right? Because this comes down to this treatment, this facility isn't necessarily cheap, but also maybe not as expensive as having folks go to the ER all the time or the detention center. So there maybe is a cost savings there. But the county has a source of funds or maybe some grant opportunities to try to make this financially possible?
Yeah, very good question. And to your point, yes, you know, part of this study, part of this facility would to try to protect county public fund resources. As he had mentioned, going to the detention center hospital is not a good use of public funds. This study is the first step in this process so that we could identify what exactly we need in terms of a facility, how many chairs, for example, what the space layout would be. And then hopefully that would enable us to go to the legislative body or other grant opportunities out there so that we could have something that's shovel ready and identify this is exactly what we need. Obviously, we know it's a need in our community, especially if all the different partners are saying, hey, we need to head in this direction. And hopefully it'll make us that much more competitive to get the funding we need to construct this facility and then provide those resources to the public.
Got you. And I imagine some of the other programs that Lisa mentioned, the Sobering Center, the Total Behavioral Health, and some of those programs are already in place and already helping to maybe divert some of this population from heading to the ER, emergency department, or the detention center. You can already show some of these potential funders that the county already has some things in place to help some of this population, and this would be just another step in that direction. Is that kind of the idea as well?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the idea. You know, the state Medicaid program can't forever support an ER visit for someone in crisis, or the detention center is super expensive for someone who at a low level, you know, law enforcement encounter. Those are expensive options. And so just, you know, without thinking about expenses all the time, thinking about what's the right thing to do also for an individual in crisis.
Right. Well, and that's where we are now, right? Because if someone's in crisis, we just want to get them help, even if it's expensive. That's what we have at the moment. That's... And this is an opportunity to maybe have a different path for some of these folks.
Yes. And someone who can be supported to approach wellness rather than the cycle of emergency room or detention center.
Right. And the whole idea of mental health and mental wellness is something that we are talking more about, which I'm encouraged by, but it's still something that's not maybe talked about a lot or maybe as much as it should be. And I think that's another important part of this conversation is maybe there's a lot of folks in our community walking around and managing as best they can, but maybe they could use some help, or maybe it's just one more thing that's going to maybe tip them into a crisis situation. And so it's nice to be able to have a resource if and when that happens.
Right. So you see someone on the street talking to the air, or you know, just seemingly acting differently. What's the natural reaction is either call 911 or, you know, ignore that person. But I have seen over the few years, seeing a destigmatization of mental health and saying, okay, let's get them some help. It's not a shunning or shaming. It is, you know, medical, you know, every bit is a treatable as a medical condition.
Right. And also, a lot of times, I think, too, if someone is having a mental health crisis, they sometimes have other issues as well, whether it's addiction, drugs, alcohol, or things like that. It's usually maybe not just one thing. It's usually multiple things.
Almost always.
Right?
Yes, that's true. And homelessness, homeless populations, the street inebriate populations almost always have a co-occurring mental health issue as well. So complicated issues out there for that population.
Right. And so this concept then, this crisis triage center would do just as the name implies, I guess, is really try to treat all the issues that these individuals present with in some kind of triage fashion. We'll deal with this first, and then we'll deal with maybe this next, and follow up with this. Is that the idea?
I think that's a great way to put it, to help guide that person. And so the thought is, at least initially, is staffing with peers who have been there, done that, can speak them to them in their own language, and help guide them. And it may take more than one encounter, but I think that seems to be the most effective presentation. Dealing with these folks that have the complicated issues takes some time. And so the Mental Wellness Resource Center can be a great and important part of that. And so to guide them into all the different levels and the complicated processes that they need to go to get the help that they need.
Right. And Stephen Saavedra, it seems to me the county is committed to this project and working on it and figuring out how to pay for it once you get some of this data back on maybe the size and scope of what we're talking about here this morning.
Yeah, so thus far, the county commission was the ones that authorized the funding for this study. Obviously, we'll see what the study comes out to be, but our hope is to make progress on that, partner with the different entities and see what we can do to make sure that at the end of the day, you know, the public, the patients, there's a safety first mindset. We're protecting those civil rights. We don't want to have any situation with the loss of life, and we're not wasting taxpayer dollars. And so, as Lisa had mentioned, this is for the wellness of those individuals at the end of the day. You know, there's nothing like when there's somebody having an episode, perhaps there's some violence associated with it. 911 gets called, police officers go out there. They're not knowing what to do, but of course they're not willing, you know, they can't just leave that individual, so they try to take him to the hospital. Hospital may say, you know, this is not an open wound, this is not something that is technically medically, and so it's a little harder to examine. And so they're, you know, unfortunately both entities are left in limbo. This is where this triage center to try to right that ship, get those resources to that individual when they're in crisis, and then hopefully things will smooth out. To Lisa's point, it will take time, but at least in that immediate moment, there'll be a helpline for those folks.
Right, right. And it gives that law enforcement unit another option, I guess, of where to take that individual.
Absolutely.
Instead of just to either the emergency room or jail.
Yep.
And so that's important.
I was just going to add, law enforcement is kind of the biggest champion for saying, we really need this place, because they want to, you know, most folks, especially the city of Farmington and sheriffs that I've encountered, they don't want to just take someone to the jail or to the ER and they get a call, you know, 48 hours later on the same person, so they are very interested in and excited about the possibility.
Right. And haven't we seen a lot more training in law enforcement to identify mental health issues and people that they encounter, whether it's just in some other situation or what have you, to identify some of these things?
Every single law enforcement cadet in San Juan County, and all, I think there's only one training facility, but they all get CTC training, the crisis, or maybe a CIC, I forget what it's called, but it's a crisis.
The acronym, but something about crisis
training. Yes.
Got it.
CIT, yes, okay. So every single law enforcement officer that goes through the academy in San Juan County and all the cities go through the training. So yes, they that's a have to, that's a must.
Good.
And it's a wonderful thing to know.
Good to hear. That's good to know. And so before we run out of time this morning, would you repeat the date and time of this meeting that is coming up for the stakeholders and others to have input on this crisis triage center?
Yes. Monday night, November 13th, 6 p.m., Farmington Civic Center. And so watch for announcements on the radio, Facebook, or mark your calendars now.
Right.
Monday night, November 13th, 6 p.m., Farmington Civic Center.
Okay. All right. And get a big crowd there. And again, folks who are watching us this morning can share this interview on Facebook to their friends and let them know about it, what's coming up. You can share the podcasts when they show up on your podcast feeds and get the word out that way as well. We're still a couple of weeks away from the date. And so
yes,
we hope to get a good crowd there. And I think I'm reminded of probably a quote that I'm forgetting who said it, but, you know, the way that we treat our most vulnerable citizen reflects better on our community or something to that effect. Yeah. And I think this is one of those instances where, you know, we're trying to really care for the most vulnerable amongst us, and that reflects better back on us
as a
community.
Yes.
So thank you both for being here this morning. I appreciate it very much, and for the work that and the lead the San Juan County has taken to help this population. Thank you both.
Thank you, Scott.
You're very welcome. My guest this morning from San Juan County with me here on KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.